Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and I'm reading today from one of my own works. It's called Let Your Kingdom Come, and it's a tracing of the concept of Kingdom of God all the way through Scripture and on into history. You'll see later on. This content is available at my YouTube channel. That is, I'm sorry, it's at Amazon.com. You can download the PDF of this book right here at Sermon Audio. That'll cost you nothing. Let's go on and finish this Old Testament. We're coming real close now to the times of the end of the Old Testament. And at the end of the Old Testament, of course, there's Zechariah and Malachi. We are in 500 BC now. We started right at the beginning of the Bible almost, and we've come now almost to the end of the Old Testament, and the kingdom is everywhere. A specific kingdom that will come before the new heavens and the new earth come. Well, the kingdom and Zechariah ministering simultaneously with Haggai is the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah begins early on predicting that the Lord will once more choose Jerusalem and comfort Zion. His prophecy is simply loaded from that point on with hope and comfort for a forgiven nation. I'm looking at Zechariah chapter 1, 12 to 17. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me with good and comforting words. The angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease, for I was a little angry, and they helped, but with evil intent. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Chapter 2. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and behold, a man with a measuring line in his hand. And I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see what is its width and what is its length. Okay. Now that should sound familiar to you. We see that in Ezekiel, right? We see that in the book of Revelation, measuring that same city. This is nothing new. Verse 3, and there was the angel who talked with me going out, and another angel was coming out to meet him, who said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. In other words, normal life will resume for Israel, but with the special added attraction of God himself being there. Verse 10, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I am coming, and I will dwell in your midst, says the Lord. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall become my people, and I will dwell in your midst. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you, and the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Now I know that many of the Jews believed that this prophecy was referring to the time that they did come back from captivity, and they did come back. But they were sent out again. In AD 70, there was a dispersion again. There was a persecution again, a destruction again. It wasn't the prophecy. That thing that he just talked about there has never happened yet, with God himself living in the midst of Jerusalem. Jesus will come back, set it all up, and he will stay here. It's a clear description of a literal kingdom coming to earth. Look at Zechariah 6. Then speak to him, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch. From his place he shall branch out and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Yes, he shall build the temple of the Lord. He shall bear the glory and shall sit and rule on his throne. So he shall be a priest on his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. For 150 years, the words of Jeremiah have been available. Zechariah is merely echoing the weeping prophet here. A man that's codenamed the Branch shall come bearing the glory of God, ruling on the throne, being a priest. Of course, this is Jesus during that golden age we're talking about. And Zechariah goes on in chapter 8. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion. With great zeal, with great fervor, I am zealous for her." All is forgiven, in other words. Look at God's intense love that's shining through now in verse 3. "Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion. I will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem." Now, when this was written, he had not come the first time. But now he's talking about his second coming. "I'll dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth." I ask you, is Jerusalem called the city of truth today? No. "The mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." No, that's not happening today. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its street." You see here, this is not the eternal kingdom yet. This is the millennium, and the millennium has normal life, life that we always wanted to have on this planet, but never have had because of the governments of this world. But we're going to have the government on his shoulders at one time. Coming up soon, I do hope. That's why you pray every day, "Thy kingdom come," right? "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts?" Note the word remnant. That's a key to understanding the entire future of Israel. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and righteousness." Now, how many prophets do you have to hear from? As I've been reading day after day after day, prophet after prophet after prophet talking about a coming kingdom. He says, "But now I will not treat the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts, for the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give her increase. The heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these. And it shall come to pass that just as you were a curse among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear, let your hands be strong." Indeed, today she's a curse. Think of all the difficulties this one small nation endures and passes on to the world. Verse 14, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, just as I determined to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, says the Lord of hosts, and I would not relent, again in these days I am determined to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the fast of the fourth month, the fast of the fifth, the fast of the seventh, and the fast of the tenth shall be joy and gladness and cheerful feasts for the house of Judah. Therefore, love, truth, and peace. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let's continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will also go. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord." What a graphic snapshot of life on earth during the millennium. And he's not the only prophet that has said there's going to be lots of people coming from all over the world to that place to visit. "Thus says the Lord of hosts," and they won't be tourists, they'll be coming to worship. "Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, "Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you." Has it happened? Is it happening? Not, but it will. Typical human life, but guarded by the king and his people. Old people, young people, laughter, and there's that mountain again. Perfect agreement with the other prophecies. This thing is coming to earth. Zechariah 9, 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. And I hear you saying, hey, first part of what you just read, that's in the New Testament already. He already did it. That's right. The prophet sees the first and second comings of Jesus in one vision. He doesn't see the 2,000 plus years in between. We've seen Jesus coming into Jerusalem for sure, but then rejected. One day we'll see him coming to Jerusalem as conquering king. How about Zechariah 10? I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside, for I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Those of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as if with wine. Yes, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. I will whistle for them and gather them, for I will redeem them, and they shall increase as they once increased. Who would have thought that Israel, that God was so angry with, and had to do such evil things to, that Israel had a future like the one that's described by Zechariah and all the others. How about chapter 12? The Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah. In that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David. The house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. The final solution, Hitler called it, right? Well, the final solution that was once planned for Israel is going to be turned around on that day. This will be the end instead to Israel's enemies. Verse 10, I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me, whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for a firstborn. I know, the gospel writer saw a little bit of this fulfillment when Jesus was crucified, and they looked on him whom they had pierced. I know. But on that day, a huge sorrow is going to overtake Israel as they realize that the one they killed loved them with an everlasting love. Verse 11, in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, like the mourning at Hadad Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Nathan by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of the house of Levi by itself, and their wives by themselves, the family of Shimei by itself, and their wives by themselves, all the families that remain, every family by itself, and their wives by themselves. That's how the millennial age begins, a nationwide mourning, a worldwide mourning, for the treatment of the Son of God by Israel. How about Zechariah 14? And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, half of them toward the western sea. In both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day it shall be, the Lord is one, and his name one. There it is. King over all the earth. He's here in that day. He's with us. As for those living waters, which we saw in Ezekiel and elsewhere and in Revelation, Could it be that a medicinal, supernatural element will be added to the water to cleanse the rivers and other bodies of water from the contamination that shall surely be present in the wars that precede the millennium? Yes, Jesus gives us living waters in our spirit, I know, but let's never avoid the literal when it's possible. Verse 10, all the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be raised up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate to the place of the first gate and the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel to the king's wine presses. Again, specific names like these let us know that we're on the present earth, not in a new earth, not yet. All the verse 11, the people shall dwell in it, and no longer shall there be utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. Nuclear war? Nuclear war, a part of the tribulation? Could be. It shall come to pass in verse 13, in that day, that a great panic from the Lord will be among them. Everyone will seize the hand of his neighbor and raise his hand against his neighbor's hand. Judah also will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the surrounding nations shall be gathered together, gold, silver, and apparel in great abundance. Such also shall be the plague on the horse and the mule, on the camel and the donkey, and on all the cattle that will be in those camps. So shall this plague be. Now, that's only at the beginning of the millennium. All these things will be suffered. It's at the beginning, actually, the healing begins. If the Lord wouldn't return when he does, right, no flesh would be saved. Verse 16, it shall come to pass in that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. You see how the tribulation flows right here into the millennial time. Some nations will be sent to perdition. Others will remain. I believe it, that's according to Matthew 25. Notice here also the confirmation of a very Jewish culture that will be worldwide. It shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. The family of Egypt will not come up and enter in. If they do, they don't, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. A new world's coming, folks. A new world. Not a new earth yet, but a new world, a new system, a new cosmos. Is that clear enough? The Feast of Tents is in our future, not just for Jews. All people on earth will be invited. We Gentiles who are in Christ will be grafted into this Israel thing somehow. I don't know how all that's going to work, but I want you to see, look forward to a coming kingdom. Worship of the King will be required in that day. Punishment is in store for the still rebellious of the earth who don't want to cooperate. Yeah, they'll be there. And at the end of the millennium, they'll be dealt with as Satan gathers them together for one final battle. Then we don't have to mess with those people ever again. Ever again. Well, next time we get together, we'll go to 450 BC, talking about Nehemiah. Yeah, Nehemiah, not a prophet, but an important man. We'll just spend a little time with him, and then we'll go to Malachi to close out the Old Testament. Then there's a piece in between the Testaments that we want to talk about. Oh, join me, okay? Don't miss any of this. While we're absent from each other, you can be looking around the website at all the different audios that we have. I'm talking thousands, literally thousands of audios here. I don't know. It's been a long time I've been working on this, and I hope you'll take advantage of it. I trust that you will go over to Pasturelands at YouTube if you want to see some other things there, or contact me at bob.j.faulkner.72@gmail.com, and I'll share some details about our Zoom meetings. I'd love to have you be a part of that. Well, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. This audio is being released on the 1st of November, 2022. And Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.